spirit me in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that light. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today. All right, we're back at it again. This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. We thank you for tuning in today. If you are actually looking for a way to have this podcast on your iPhone or another device, you can actually go to iTunes and go to the podcast tab, which looks like a little beacon on the left side, and then search for Matt and Mom Live, and the podcast should come up. You can subscribe. They are free. We welcome you, and we thank you for sharing this all across the world, wherever you are tuning in at. We are continuing this show from last week, which we are talking about the thread of, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of an adversity, where's God, and will he show up? And we did use a couple personal stories from our lives, Mom, our lives, and we used the story in the Bible with King David and Bathsheba. And why did we choose that story?
Well, I mean, there's so much to that story, but I know that story for us as a family is significant in so many ways. That was, we always did family devotions as a family. And of course, now you're all grown men. But when you had your tragedy in 2009, and it was 2010, the night before your sentencing, your brothers came home. Obviously, we were all going to be in court the next day. And as usual, one of the things that we did when you were kids, all the way up through college, was had family devotions. And that's where we sat around as a family and just opened up either the word, something applying to the word, maybe talked about mentors in today's society. Like back then, if Tim Tebow was around, we probably, I know I would have used him as an example, someone to look up to. It was just a time where we sat as a family because we were a very busy family. You were all in sports. Imagine four boys all in playing two or more sports. Dad and I would be going in different directions. And as a result, we felt it was very significant. You know, they say, studies will say that families that eat dinner together have a really good bond and a very strong foundation. Well, a lot of times our dinners were scattered. So what we did was we made sure that every night we'd get you four boys to sit down and we would do devotions. And it was part of our DNA. You guys grew up with it. It was never something where you went, oh, no, devotions. And so it was during those times that I think God just used and blessed so much of us opening the word in a very relevant way, Matt. We never just took scriptures and tried to pound them into your heads. We always tried to apply principles of the scripture through discussion and conversation.
I remember those days specifically as the youngest of four boys.
You probably had to sit through the most of them since you were the youngest. You were sitting there at age 2 and 3, you know, wiggling around.
Well, you know what? I knew the word. I knew the Bible stories. I knew the importance of memorization. I knew the importance of studying, finding good devotionals. I mean, that continued regardless of where I was as a college student, as a professional soccer player. I was always reading the devotionals. Now, they may have only went to the mind and never really descended to the heart until what happened? A storm. And I really like to think about the disciples really being so close to Jesus, seeing so many different things. You know, they saw him heal people. They saw him raise people from the dead. They heard his teachings. They saw him cast out demons. And these things blew their mind. But do you know where they experienced Jesus the most? The fullness of Jesus being God. Where did they experience him the most? Was it in the feeding of the 5,000? Did that blow their mind? Absolutely. But the miracles that Jesus did, almost to the people, they were just like tricks. They were impressed by them, but it didn't move them spiritually. I'll tell you where they experienced him the most. In their own storm. You see, there's an account where Jesus sends his disciples across this lake. And he sends them out there for this reason. Was it actually to get away from the crowds? Yeah, that was part of it. But I believe, and I conjecture, that the purpose of sending them out into the middle of the lake was to encounter a storm, a purposeful storm that he sent. Because what happens? He comes walking out on the water in the midst of this storm. He enters their storm. He allowed the storm. He sent them in to the storm. And they're panicking. They think they see a ghost. Jesus calls out to Peter. Peter calls out to Jesus. And what happens? He identifies Jesus and says, "If it is you, I'm coming to you." And Jesus gives him the command to come. You see, he wouldn't have been able to come unless Jesus gave him the command. It wasn't that Peter had this great faith. No, it was because Jesus said he can do it, he did it. If he just got out of the boat haphazardly, he would have sank earlier. But he gets out of the boat. What happens? He walks to Jesus. He's walking on the impossible. He's walking on water. He's walking on the storm. He loses sight. He sees the wind. He feels the raging waters. He loses sight of his Savior. Jesus reaches down and pulls him as he's drowning, walks him back to the boat, puts him in the boat, gets in the boat. And what happens, Mom? The storm ceased. And it was at that point, in spite of all the miracles, in spite of all the disciples saw Jesus do, it was right there where they said, "Who is this man? Who is this man that even the winds and the storms obey him?" It was his presence that brought peace. Why did I tell you that? Because sometimes God will allow us to enter right into a storm. Those storms have various purposes. They're storms of direction. They'll redirect you. You're going in the wrong directions. Mine was a storm of direction. There are storms of protection. He will allow a storm in your life to protect you. Mine was also a storm of protection. You see, I was going down a very dangerous path. And without that tragedy, without that storm, without that protection, without that isolation of prison, I don't know where I would be. Then there's storms of correction. You may very well have done something that deserved that storm. And likewise, that's also what my storm was. God will use a storm to correct us, just as he used David and Bathsheba. That was a storm of correction. So for whatever reason, it isn't our really main objective to figure out why did the storm enter my life. The reason that the storm comes is to make me draw closer to the Savior. I like to say that the sender of the storm is also the Savior in the storm. And you experience God in that storm when you see him. I know it's not easy, but please, if you hold on to what we are sharing from personal experience, it will become easier.
You know, as you said that story, that is something that, again, I have in the book Slammed, that when I woke up every day with this uncertainty of what was going to happen to you through those 10 months after the accident and before your court hearing, your sentencing day, I actually used that analogy and I said, if I woke up and kept my eyes on God and God alone, and that meant reading the word, praying, putting on spiritual music, I could walk through that day in peace. But if I started to look at the wind and the surrounding uncertainties of all of the circumstances, I would drown. And believe me, there were days when I would start to sink. And so that is such an important concept.
Right.
I want to go back to one more thing, so hold your thought. Okay. I have a lot of things bouncing through my head. Because I started out talking about how we did family devotions when you boys were in our home. And I was speaking to a parent recently who was a Christian, and his children are older, and he was just like, man, they just don't get it, you know? They don't even know common stuff about, like, the Bible. And I said, and it was somebody close to me, so I didn't mean to hurt his feelings, but I said, would so many of these people, these children that have become grown-ups today lack, who were raised in Christian homes, was discipleship
right.
by their own parents.
Right.
And that means simply training them in the Word. And as you said, Matt, no credit to me or Dad. It just that God placed that on my heart from the time I had kids. I was learning the Word. I wanted to train you guys to have an understanding of it.
Sure.
Now, you can't implant that in someone. That has to be something that God implants.
Sure.
And,
well,
and
you know
response.
What? It's implanted. I can't say it's something that God is going to possibly implant into a parent. It is implanted. It was one of the roles. It was one of the offices that God called the father and the mother to. I mean, you can't even say, I don't know if he called me to disciple my kids in a home. I have to work. No. Well, you are going against God's commandment. He commands the mother. Actually, many would attest and say that the most influential people in their life were coaches. And I have to beg to differ. It should have been the mother. The mother has been called to disciple the children. You are, mom, you were a mentor to the four boys that you raised. And yes, dad, when he was home from working, he was the provider, he was the protector. When he was home, he also took partnership with you in raising us four boys. But you, being the homemaker, you were the sole mentor of us children.
Well, you know, it is interesting because at the time when we were raising you kids and doing these devotions, there were some in churches that felt that the husband should be leading the, quote, devotions at night. And yes, I believe that the husband and the father are the leaders of our homes. But the interesting thing was, as a homemaker, and I was at home, I felt I had the time to actually prepare, almost like a lesson
sure.
of what we were going to do that night. And you know what? Sometimes it was just a newspaper article. I might have seen something that
right.
was just a situation that would be a great discussion point on how to navigate something that was right then cultural and socially relevant to you boys. So whether it's the husband or the wife, one of the parents has to take on the fact that we are supposed to be the biblical mentors to our children. And I used to say to dad, and I got this at a conference at a very young age, and it was actually a blessing. I remember the woman saying, we need to be students of our children. And that means you need to study your
sure.
kids.
Sure, all different.
You need to know their bents. You need to know which one you appeal through the heart and which one through the head.
Right.
And which one needs a bop on the head.
Anthony's the heart, Mike's the head.
So it's all, and that's what God desires of us. But I want to get back to the fact that that was one of our disciplines as a family. So when you had your situation, we are now the night before court.
Yep.
And if I recall,
January 6, 2010,
everybody's here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a situation where we don't know what the judge is going to do. I think you could have gotten 5 to 10 years.
5 to 10 years, I was looking at. 7 was the expectation from our counsel.
7, 7.5. And I have to admit, as a mom, I was saying to the Lord, first of all, 5 to 10 didn't make any sense in my mind in terms of the loss of those years just seemed overwhelming to me.
I don't know. I think initially, I don't think it would. I think the thought was like, all right, 5 to 10 years isn't that long. But when you're there, then you say, oh my goodness, 5 to 10 years is long.
You never thought it was that long?
Well, when you get there, it's like, okay. And then, but then you experience a week, 7 days, and you say, ugh, I got to go through a year, and then another year, and then another year, and then another year, and then a half. Forget about it. I wouldn't be able to do that without that peace of God, without
yes.
experiencing Jesus Christ in such a personal and intimate way. It was catered just to me, that relationship. So without those devotionals, they were priority, actually. The devotions that we had that night before, that was like a priority. We had to do that. It was to honor God. It was to let him know that we give him the next day. And whatever the case may be, the next day, whatever the judge says, whatever the response of the family is, we accept it, and we're going to move forward honoring him. And we didn't know what that looked like, Mom. There was no the mattmayerstory.com. There was no website. The only following was the schools that I spoke at previously, and people were talking about it, but we still couldn't see through that fog. We couldn't see through that storm. It was still raging.
Are you kidding? Yeah, we were in the center of the – we were in the eye of the storm. At least I was as a mom that night. But that was the actual Bible verses that the Lord placed on my heart when we did sit down. I read those scriptures that we just talked about in the previous
episode.
Show last week. And what I said, and I remember this like it was yesterday, that I wanted us all to know that we had fasted and we had prayed and we knew what was before us, but that God is sovereign and he holds the heart of the judge in his hands and he will turn it any which way he wants, and that whatever the verdict was, whether it was way more than what I prayed, and I'll tell you what I prayed. I said, Lord, I can do 4 years. I did 4 years of college. It went very quickly. I can do 4 years, but I can't do more than that, Lord. but thy will be done. And what we did that night is we said, whatever the judge, whatever the conclusion and judgment of the judge was, we would wash away our tears and we would put on fresh clothes and we would walk with our heads held high and walk in it to the glory of God.
Right.
That's what we talked about. Now, you know what? People might look at this story now and just see all the positives that are happening. But why we're doing this is we want to remind you that when we were in the midst of deep sorrow and unknown expectations, this is our remedy, was simply relying on the word of God and the power of God and the sovereignty of God.
Right. That was the only thing that fit comfortably. Everything else would have been irritating, you know, worrying, stressing. I mean, those things are sometimes a given. You can't help, but they're just causing more irritation to an already irritating situation. The thing that was most comfortable, it fit perfectly, was surrender, release, prayer, and then walking through it. So I got two things I really want to share. The first is, it was no question in our household who was the spiritual leader. It was our father. But the private, I guess, instructions are the mom. So if mom, if you're out there and you are struggling, whether the husband is no longer in the house, whether you don't see him because of work, please take courage and know that God has put inside of you what you need to be equipped with to instill into those children in your household his will and his way. And what you should be doing is learning it yourself so you can kind of instill it into them whenever you can. And I know everybody's schedules are different, but please know that God empowered you to do it and he will find ways for you to deploy that gift. The second thing is another story. It involves, again, the disciples, an account in the gospel, and it speaks of Jesus telling them they're going to go to the other side. People hear this. It's probably so many sermons about Jesus gets in the boat with them, and the commandment before they even set out was, let us be going to the other side. And when God says he's going to get to the other side, he's going to get you there. Now, what happens from the point you leave to the point you arrive, it may be a little different. And what happened when they set out was another storm. But in the midst of the storm, guess what our Lord and Savior was doing? Guess what Jesus was doing? I love studying his life.
Sleeping.
He's sleeping because he really was tired, but he also knew that there would be a storm. It was a divine design moment that a storm would come. Was he up? Was he panicking? Was he planning? What was he doing? He was resting. He was resting. Why? Because once again, he was testing his disciples. What would they do? What did they do? They panicked. One of the scriptures says that they were being swamped by the storm. They went in and they awoke him, which means the storm didn't even wake him. They had to wake him. And he comes out and he does what he does. He stills, he muzzles the storm around them. And basically the lesson is, why were they so fearful when the Lord of that storm was sleeping through the storm? And I'm not saying to fall asleep during your storm and to act like it didn't happen. I'm saying you can rest as Jesus rested through that storm. And guess what? They got to the other side just as he said. And their knowledge of who he was deepened because of the storm. And the knowledge that you have today, the intimacy that you have today, mom, has been deepened, the depth through storms. And that's why God really allows storms in our life. And I like to always talk about the analogy of the oak tree and how the oak tree's roots, they are so extensive and they are so elaborate and they are so strong, but only because they're complemented by the storms that actually ravage through. When a storm comes, the oak tree goes deeper into the ground and grabs earth. They become stronger with the help of the storm. So perhaps that's why God has allowed a storm into your life today. He wants to strengthen your character through it. Please, I'm telling you from experience, stop pleading for God to remove the storm. He will not remove the storm or remove the circumstances until the storm is removed from you. Sometimes that's the very reason why he allows it. There's something going on the inside that God wants to deal with like a master surgeon. He will handle that scalpel with such precision and accuracy, but stop fighting. Nobody wants to do surgery on somebody that's sitting on that table, that's squirmishing, that's moving. Just let it happen. Let the master surgeon have his way on your soul. And I'm telling you, mom, without that understanding, without actually holding on to that, I have no idea where I would be today. And as actually the months go on, we're going to probably highlight some of the things that God has entrusted me with since I've been out to all the glory and praise be given to him. You know what? I dare not take what is his, that glory. I mean, I think that's the reason why he keeps putting me on these stages, on these platforms, because I'm no longer foolish enough to think that it's just me. I know it's all of him. So I got this, you got this kid up on stage just talking, and sometimes I don't even know what I'm saying, but apparently the people are hearing God speak, and I'm saying that's because God knows that. People are saying, how's he up there? But God. So we don't know where you're at. We hope that what we've offered today is just a little bit of the hope that you need to get by for whatever God has allowed into your life. Know that it will not have touched your life if it has not already passed through the scarred hands of Jesus Christ. Please let that sink in. We like to close all shows with reminding you that God is sovereign. Be still and know that he is God. That's Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that he is God. We thank you for sharing this podcast.
Where are you going? Yahweh, you don't know him. I answered his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. He breathed in my lungs and spared me from Satan. And now that I love, even my loved ones they hate. Waiting patiently, pacing for me to fall on my face. But I'm falling in faith. Pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there, spiritually in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And the father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that light. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth. Guys that are running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different.
Nah,
don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ.